listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Motherfuckers can't rhyme no more. About crime no more. Till I'm no more. Cause I'm so raw. My flow exposed hoes that they find in yours. Was it for me, niggas would still be dying for hoes. But I hate when a nigga sit back admiring yours. Young blood, you better get that. We frying because niggas don't want to be confined to riding the iron horse. And don't listen to these rappers, yo. They dying to floss. I used to be OT. Applying the force. Shoot up the whole block. Then the iron I toss. Come back with the clicks playing Diana Ross. Nigga, I'm the boss and this is how it's gonna be. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Tuesday going up
on that Super Tuesday.
That's right. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We love when people do that. The official weapon of the show is
a taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And you can find us all over social media by searching the Black Guy Who Tips. We have all the pages and shit, except Instagram and stuff. All right, so that's what you can do. Also, it is day 314 that Bobby Shmurda is in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to tell you guys that, but it's the truth. And I need you to hear it from me. He's still locked up. Today's podcast is sponsored. It's brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. That's right, guys. Tweakedaudio.com is the maker of fine headphones, especially the new Hegones or Hegony. I don't know which way they're pronounced, but they're spelled Hegone with no space. And you can find it on their website. There's some nice inner ear headphones that never fall out at the gym and for active wear. But they have all kinds of different styles. Mm-hmm. And if you use our code TBGWT, you can get 33% off of any style of these headphones. Plus, you get free shipping and it comes with a lifetime guarantee on your headphones. Okay? So there's been plenty of times where people use the headphones. The next thing you know, it breaks or bust or shorts out, and then you're like, fuck, I ain't got no headphones no more.
Right.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. You can just get you some new ones. All right, so it doesn't cost you anything. You just mail them in, get some new ones back. So tweakedaudio.com, code TBGWT. All right, let's see what we want to talk about first. I guess we talk about the news. The biggest news right now is the Spring Valley high school tossing of that girl in that chair and slamming her on the ground. This has become very controversial.
I don't understand why, but yes.
Yeah, I like literally did not understand what the fucking point was that made this controversial,
other than people hate fucking women.
It really feels like this is an open shut case of a police officer going too fucking far. But like I'm seeing from a lot of black men, and I wish it weren't so. I wish it was another way. I wish it was another group of people. I wish I could just be like, oh nah, this is, but I'm either seeing mostly black men be quiet or worse, being like, that's what she deserved, basically.
Right, because it's not about me. I'm not the victim, so fuck whoever's the victim.
Yeah, I don't know how many ways I can express it on this show over and over time and time again, but people just keep doing this, you know? Like, I hate seeing it, you know what I mean? Like, I wish it was another way, but I refuse to be silent about it. But, you know, the people that were mostly disagreeing with me, black men,
right?
You know, very, you know, it's funny because their whole thing is she should have complied with whatever was going on, and anything that happened after that is basically, there's no reason to even worry about it, like,
right?
That's just what happens,
right?
And also part of the discussion turned into the teacher, who, if you saw the video, there's a black male who's teaching the class. He's the teacher, and he's obviously called that officer there to institute this discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, well, yeah, it's partially his fault because he never stepped in and intervened or said anything. And, you know, it's his classroom and he watched this happen. And some people are like, well, he might have been scared of the cop too. Well, there was another girl who stood up and said something and she got arrested. The person who recorded got arrested. The actual teacher didn't say shit or do anything. I do feel like it's partially his fault. And I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think even if he called that officer there to discipline someone he felt was being disrespectful.
He didn't call him to do that.
The second that, well, I'm not done. The second that it went that far, if you were uncomfortable with where it was going, it was your duty as the adult in that situation to either say something or inform somebody else. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
True.
If this hadn't been recorded, we would have never heard of this.
Of course.
That man was never going to tell anybody. That's my belief.
And I believe that this happens all the time, and she's not the only student. And this is something that the way everybody responded, this is in the brand new situation to nobody involved.
Yeah, I believe he called Ben Fields, the officer there, to do that. That's his thing. That's mm-hmm. that's what he does, is fuck up these students. He's allegedly has a history of violence, and he's been placed on leave after brutal arrest at the high school. I think it's a without pay too. Yeah, in just a few years, the Guardian reports Richland County School District 2 went from being predominantly white to now three quarters black. I wonder what happened there.
White flight,
gentrification, right? Other places, yeah. Moving people out.
Gentrification is, that's a whole, I'm not going to get on that. But gentrification, a lot of gentrification is a bunch of bullshit, because you have these people that move into these areas that are not from this community, and then they come in there and you cause the rates and everything else to go up. So the people that live there a lot of times can't afford to live there anymore. A lot of times they're forced to move out. And then a lot of the things that were part of the community, that built the community, that made the community special, you strip that community of it and you change it into whatever the fuck you want to change it into. And that's a problem. And it's just one of those things where it's like you move people out. Where do these people go? These people don't disappear. These people don't poof be gone. These are real live human beings. And because they can't quote unquote afford to go to your bodega and whatever the fuck you got going on, it's like, well, fuck you. You got to go to a quote unquote another ghetto on the other part of town that we created for you where we used to stay.
Yeah. So, Fields, the officer, is white. The student he arrested is black. Last year, Stephen Gilchrist, a local business owner and father of three boys, founded the Richmond County Two Black Parents Association with about a dozen other members. The group now has 5,700 members. The Two Black Parents Association. It's crazy, man, Gilchrist said. We formed because it was so obvious the white parents were getting the best access and opportunities, but we are a community of black parents who want to get involved. The problem is widespread. Shortly thereafter, something called the Bipartisan Committee was formed, more commonly known as the Bipartisan White Citizens Committee, Gilchrist said. I think it's the last stand for a good school district. A committee member, George Shisias, said before a school board election that the Guardian report shifted the makeup of the board from mostly black to mostly white. You will have people who will leave for other jobs. They will bully them and threaten them. A spokeswoman for the school district, Libby Roof, said the school administration would also investigate Monday's incident with Fields, against whom a lawsuit filed by another high school student, Ashton James Reese, claiming Fields recklessly targets African-American students with allegations of gang membership and criminal gang activity. In the past, there have been some issues, but I believe that any parent with concerns can bring it to the administration to be heard, said the school spokeswoman, Roof.
Word. Oh, shit ain't getting addressed. Word.
In 2005, as a rookie, Fields brutally arrested an Army medic, Thomas Martin, stationed at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, while he was still in uniform. I recognized him on the spot. I remember how big he was, said the 10-year Army veteran. After seeing the video of Fields arresting a high school student Monday, during this confrontation, Fields snapped after Martin called him dude, forcing him to the ground, emptying a can of pepper spray on him. He became even more violent because I didn't react like most people would, Martin told the Daily News, referring to his military training to resist chemicals. Martin's then wife, Tashiana Rogers, was taking pictures on her cell phone. I watched my wife get beat up in front of me and there's nothing I could do about it, Martin said. The former medic who spent 10 years in the service said his encounter with the hulking officer led to his divorce and discharge from the military. Damn. The civil rights violations lawsuit filed against Fields only to be dismissed over difficulties proving excessive force. I felt like if he had felt the consequences from 2005, this wouldn't happen today.
Right. It's like he just continues to do this and nobody does shit about it.
That's what Martin's wife said. Meanwhile, District 2 Superintendent Dr. Debbie Hamm issued a statement ordering that Fields not return to any school in the district pending the results of investigation into these actions. Yeah, it's amazing how much race has to do with just even the makings or the environment for this to be allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once the school district switches to mostly black kids, it turns from a school to a prison. Like,
right.
It's just another link in the chain to lead these people to prison and government subsidy, welfare programs and
right.
Anything that they can collect revenue off of. And they divert resources from and I mean that as a society, mm-hmm. not just one or two people. I mean, there's nothing worse than watching people like try to strip the school of all resources because they know the school is black.
Right. You know? They won't fund shit. They send the worst teachers there. They can't get proper resources. They can't get good libraries. They can't get rebuilt. They can't expand. They can't do anything.
Yeah, allegedly he's attacked other students, but I don't think that's on the record. But you know, they say he's putting knees in the back of pregnant students and stuff like that before. Yeah, you know, I like, that's one of the parts about white flight that people don't talk about, is that white people and their mentality is a victim of white supremacy too, because mm-hmm. a lot of times what we see as racism is white people who think they're not racist or right. think that they're well-meaning or they don't see their actions as having a racist result.
Mm-hmm.
They're just leaving from what they consider to be the absence of goods and services from the public when they see black people. So what I mean by that is, if black people are coming to your neighborhood, what that means is you're about to have a heavier police presence. It means you're about to have less support from your local municipalities. It means that you're about to have less maintenance done where you stay on your streets, yep. on the upkeep. It means that you're going to have a higher, cost of living where you're at.
And sometimes property value goes down.
Right. It means a lot of shit more, but they don't see it that way because they just have this fear of like, oh my God, it's just black people are moving in. Bad things are about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read Ta-Nehisi Coates' article about the case for reparations, that was one of the things that struck me, was just this mass of whiteness leaving places because of this unknown fear almost. Like, it wasn't an overt like niggers run. It was kind of like, oh, this means my property value is gonna go down. Why is your property value gonna go down? Because black people are there. No one questions the impetus for why a black person owning the same home that a white person owns now makes that home worth less, you know.
Right. And that has a lot to do with why a lot of black people, when they sell their home, or people like of mixed races, whenever they that are married, whenever they sell their homes, they have to strip everything about blackness out of their homes. And a lot of times these people won't even come for the warmings or anything like that. They'll let the person selling their home, who probably is white a lot of the time, sell the home so they can get the most money, because a lot of times if people know that somebody's black is in or associated with their home, they will purposely offer you less.
Back to this story. The Department of Justice is launching an investigation into the brutal South Carolina classroom arrest. They've opened a civil rights investigation into the violent arrest. The FBI will collect all available facts and evidence in order to determine whether federal law was violated. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I don't get too excited about that shit anymore. Mm-hmm.
No, because it don't mean nothing if you're not willing to punish.
Right, and typically this shit is systematic. Now, if they can pin this on one guy, they will, because that's what they do, you know. But if the local people can be like, here, feds, Ben Fields is the real problem, everything else look the other way, I'm sure they will. But if it's some broad reaching systematic thing where all the officers probably act like this, all the teachers probably turn a blind eye to this, because you begin to work there, the students, if you don't take any lip from students that are black, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's the other thing, it's just this inherent racism that is so through the whole thing. Like, you don't have videos of white kids having this happen to them.
Come on now,
it's just not gonna happen. So already we're accepting that a given, that a lot of people understand that these students don't have rights because they're black. Like, if she was not a student of color, we don't think this would happen. So we're already accepting less from the jump, you know, which is scary as fuck to think about, you know. Like, you send your daughter off to school and it's like, yeah, she's gonna be suspended at a higher rate, put in detention at a higher rate, you know, like, less will be tolerated from her because everything she does will be perceived with this like multiplier on it of blackness. Like,
right,
she got an attitude, but it's a black attitude, so it's scary and it's the worst.
Right, and a lot of times when they look at us, they age us up just naturally.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those
studies that show time moves slower when white people see a black person. Time is perceived to be slower in their minds.
Wow.
Like, I'm sitting in a room with a black person, I feel like it's been 10 minutes, it's been 5. You know what okay. I mean? Like that, like these are the inherent things that we don't talk about. These are the undercurrent of race that even your well-meaning friends can have. People that are, like, it's not people walking around just calling you a nigger.
Mm-mm.
That people are frustrated by. You know, a lot of this frustration is simply people being like, I don't feel comfortable around black people. Now, I would never voice that out loud, but when I see this video, I don't want to talk about it. I just get it off my feed, mm-hmm. and I'm done. You know, I understand people have their own rules for their feeds and don't repost this video, don't share anything, I don't want to see it. You're gonna have to learn to cultivate your own feed of social media. It's the Wild Wild West. You really can't control what other people do.
Nope.
You can only mute, block, unfollow. But there's also a ton of people that need to see this kind of shit. It's a ton of people that they don't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be glad when that shit goes viral on Facebook. You know? Like, I don't tag anybody to it, and I don't like mm-mm. being tagged to it, to be honest, but
right.
sometimes it's good to know that somebody that is trying to avoid the real issues that people are going through has to see this.
Right, you know? Right, and that's the problem. The problem is not the situation itself. A lot of times the problem is people that are complacent and people that feel uncomfortable and don't know how to deal with being uncomfortable and don't know how to express that they're uncomfortable and don't know what to say and don't know what to do and don't know how to respond and don't know how to react and don't want to say the wrong thing and, you know, don't want to get attacked. So a lot of times they feel like the best thing is to say nothing or do nothing. But what they fail to realize is that when you do that, nothing changes.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too is that especially, like I said, reading the book I'm reading, black women's defiance looks different than the way we romanticize male revolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like a black man's revolution, we just expect them to like pick up a fucking shovel and like kill somebody, right? It's like, you know, oh, burn down a house, fucking like kill massa and, you know, join the war. Like, there's a certain like things that we like, yeah, that's revolution, right? This very fiery thing. Black women's revolution, you know, and their rebellion has been different. It's had to be different because of the task and that they were given as under slavery,
right?
So your revolution might be, I'm not washing these fucking dishes.
Come on now.
And what does that get you labeled as? Lazy. You know, oh, I'm not, you know, I can't help that I gotta fold these fucking clothes, but I'm gonna fold them wrong because fuck this bitch. Well, now you're too stupid to fold clothes. I just have to do everything myself. Black women are inferior. Oh, I'm not going to take care of your kids the way I would take care of my own kid. Well, see, that's what's wrong. Black people don't know how to raise their kids. Because she can barely raise my kids that I pay her nothing to do. You know, white people back in the day were like, I treat you well, but you can go read, like, the same people that beat you say they treat you well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, you know, doesn't surprise me that we still have hang-ups about hitting our kids to this day. I don't know that we'll ever not have it,
right?
Because that's what was beaten into us,
correct?
And that's what discipline was supposed to be for us, but now we're judged for it, right? As a culture, you got a bunch of white people going, why you gotta hit your kids, you know, shit,
right?
Like that,
even when
the percentage is only like 8 percentage points different among races, they still look at us as inferior, because they have been looking at us as inferior, because you can't have slavery without an imagined superiority for yourself the entire time. Like, you can't have it. So that programming it's just not being undone. Or maybe it is, but it's being undone so slow. So when we watch this shit, I watched a girl that maybe she decided to rebel. Maybe something's going on at home. Maybe that's right. Something's going on with this teacher. But at some point she shut down and she decided, I'm not doing whatever the fuck it is you're trying to make me
and
do.
That wasn't addressed.
Now, I'm not saying that should go unpunished.
Right.
I'm not saying that has to go unaddressed. But what I am saying is, I know slamming her on the floor and dragging her across the room was not the punishment that fit that crime.
Mm-mm.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't have, I'm not here to be like, well, just talk to her nice and she'll do it. I don't know what she'll do. You know what I mean? Like, she's obviously going through something.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the fact that so many adults are talking about comply, that so many black people are talking about compliance in this situation, just comply. This country was founded on revolution. You know what I mean? This country was founded on a revolt, on us turning around, white people, turning around and being like, yo, Britain, we keeping this bitch. Now what? Will kill you. It was found in the blood of war.
Mm-hmm.
And people are talking about fucking comply. Like, that's the American spirit. It's shameful to see this cowardice, especially from black men who are then trying to get hyper masculine on it. Like, they couching in some machismo shit, but it's really not.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're really just a coward, man.
Yes, you are. And it's one of those things where I've talked about this and I will continue to talk about this. When it comes to situations that don't involve black men, a lot of black men will do anything they can to make the situation about them. Because in the next 24 to 48 hours, when another black man dies or gets shot, I'm going to have to look at my timeline and see these same motherfuckers that told this girl to comply is going to be fussing and ranting and raving on every social media platform out there. And when somebody tells them to comply, they're going to flip a fucking fool. What's the difference between that and what you're telling this young lady?
It's cowardice, man. It's cowardice. You're just hiding behind it. You know, like this idea of like, well, if she would have just complied, it's like, okay, she acted up. Why is it okay for them to do that to her though?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like what is, like, it reminded me of that Harriet Tubman quote where she's like, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. It's like that. Like, mm-hmm. How could you accept? Why would you hold up white supremacy like that? Because that's what you're doing.
Correct.
You're holding it up.
On her, but not for you, though. You're holding it up on her.
Right. I've seen so many people talk about black women hate black men, black feminists hate black men on Twitter today. And I was like, no, they hate niggas like you.
Right, niggas like you.
I never, like, I don't even go in to be like, hey, not all black men. I mean, I love y'all sisters and I don't even say that shit. Cause if I don't have the actions, then it ain't about me in the first fucking place. So if they're talking about, yeah, black men do think that it's okay for this woman, this girl to get thrown around. But when Mike Brown gets killed, they want black women out here marching. I don't reply to that cause I'm like, yeah, some niggas do and I'm just not one of them niggas. And I have no point in stepping into your conversation to try to derail the point so that you specifically give me my pat on the back.
Right. And it's also one of those things too, to where when people make general statements, a lot of times people take things very personal. And a lot of times people have enough common sense to know, okay, they're not talking about me, move on. But sometimes there's just something in people that makes them think I've got to comment, when a lot of times what they're talking about doesn't even apply to you. You wouldn't, in any normal situation, you wouldn't even do this shit, but for this one time you want to be vocal. And that's something that pisses women off, because they're like, okay, any other time I don't see you talking about this shit, but now since I'm ranting and raving and calling out these other motherfuckers, now I hear your voice. And that makes a lot of women angry.
Well, what's funny is that these same guys who say they don't say anything and they don't know why everybody's talking about them, if they're not talking about you, then shut the fuck up, right? But they'll go and talk about these women later.
Right.
So later on they will, so they can hear the response to the trolls, but they refuse to see the trolls that generate the response. And I'm saying trolls, but I shouldn't even be saying trolls. These guys genuinely believe this. This wasn't a, hey, I'm just a known troll that wants to fuck with black women. You know, like, these are some people that really just have these beliefs. You know, and normally when I say something to them, I don't get a response back.
Right, because you a male, and that's the thing.
I could call him an idiot. I could say you're a fuckboy, coward, piece of shit. I won't get a response.
You know what they'll do? They'll go and bash that woman. That's what they'll do, because it's one of those things where you're such a punk ass that you won't stand up to another man, but you feel like it's okay to attack another woman. And the problem that I have is that the dudes that come out and act like these women are crazy for ranting and raving, and act like these women are just supposed to ignore these people that are purposely trolling them. They act like these women are just supposed to take this abuse. They act like these women are making the shit up. Well, I don't do it, so the shit doesn't exist. This is the same way that the racism continues. It's the same way that
they're always like, black women so mad.
Right, right.
Man, what these sisters mad about now? Are they overreacting? Here they go overreacting. But it's like, no, you used your privilege to opt out of that discussion. So you get to say it's overreacting. Meanwhile, you'll get mad because your fucking favorite football team lost.
Come on now.
And be mad all day. You'll be mad because Greg Hardy did something all fucking day. You'll be mad because, the way that people talk about Cam Newton all fucking day. Mm-hmm. But yet when it's time for, you know, a situation where it affects a black woman and you don't have to pay attention to it, oh, you just don't. And then you go, black women be overreacting, tripping. Why is everybody up in arms? Are y'all really mad? You know, shit like that.
Yeah, all emotional. Like, what you were feeling wasn't emotional. Men are emotional too. They might express it in different ways, but you ranting and raving about that shit got emotions in it too, dog.
I just don't see how you can't, how can you look at that video and not get fucking upset?
I'm furious.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even say, like, one of the things I stopped saying on the show for a while now is, what if it was your sister? What if it was your mother? What if, cause I feel like for a lot of these guys, if it was, they would be okay with it.
They would not care.
If this was their daughter. One dude said, if my daughter acted like that, I would destroy her. On Twitter. He watched that video and that's what he got. Was, I would destroy my daughter. Cause that's the real problem in this thing.
Right. Everybody don't need to be parents, and it's scary. For me as a female, and particularly a black female, it's scary being born a female, period. I'm gonna just keep this real. It's just scary being born a female and growing up as a female and dealing with a lot of society in general, because society in general tell women that you ain't shit. They tell you that you're property. They tell you that you're worthless without a man. They tell you that your worth is in a man. They tell you that you're not as smart. You're not that smart. You're not that bright. They tell you that you're weak. They tell you, you know, that you're worthless and you're nothing. And then if you're black on top of that, they tell you your skin tone comes in, or brown, your skin tone comes in. So not only are you dealing with all the problems of just being a woman, now I have to deal with the problems of being a woman and have to deal with the problem of my race too. So it's one of those things where at the end of the day, women get fed the fuck up. And I think that they have a right to voice their opinion. They have a right to get angry. They have a right to be mad. They have a right to be upset about their problems. And they also have a right to be upset about male problems too. It's funny how women don't opt out when shit affects males and don't affect them. These black women don't say, well, fuck you niggas, I didn't get shot today, that's not my problem. They don't do that. They come out and they march. They come out and they protest. Sometimes they're the only fucking ones standing when y'all niggas not there.
Yep. But that's, you know, that's what people do.
Right. And that's the part that makes me very, very, very upset. And it's amazing how many people are oblivious to these women that go out and sacrifice and do shit for them and then spit in their face and all kinds of shit across social media. Not physically, but, you know, virally just
no, treat them like shit. Part of the violence in this situation is a lot of black men's refusal to even see that girl as human.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just another punch to the stomach is you watch that and you don't feel shit. You know, you just like, well, should have got her ass up. That's all you see about it. You know what I mean? It's like even our non-compliance as black people, we're already giving up all our rights and being like, well, of course you can kill. You can just, like, what would have been too much? Cause he had just punched her and broke all the teeth out. And then y'all would have been like, well, that's what happens.
You might put a gun, a shot in the head.
You right. Just, is that okay? It. Hillary Clinton said there's no excuse for violence inside of school. The hashtag assault at Spring Valley High is unacceptable. Schools should be safe places. H. So even she gets it on Twitter. Now maybe she's just trying to get black votes. I don't know. But she did, you know, but I'll take that.
I will too. What did other candidates say?
I hope the other candidates said something or, and I'm just not aware, or that they say something soon, because they should. The girl who, filmed it, the woman who filmed it, she's, 18, and Naya Kenny is her name, and she got arrested. She talked to the news.
And we also spoke with the second student who was arrested at the school this afternoon.
She says she was taken into custody after just standing up for the girl in the classroom, and she was asking what was happening. She also refused to give anybody the video she shot of the incident, except for News 19's Lauren Thomas.
What was your reaction when you saw?
I was crying, like literally screaming, crying like a baby.
18-year-old Naya Kenny was in her math class at Spring Valley High when she saw school resource officer Ben Fields forcibly remove her classmate.
I was in disbelief. I know this girl don't got nobody, and I couldn't believe this was happening. I'd never seen nothing like that in my life. Like, a man used that much force on a little girl, a big man, like 300 pounds, a full muscle. I was like, no way, no way. Like, you can't do that to no little girl. I'm talking about she like 5'6".
Kenny says her classmate was not participating and was asked to leave the room by her teacher. When she refused, an administrator was called asking her to leave. Officer Fields also asked her to leave the classroom. Kenny filmed part of the altercation on her phone of Officer Fields arresting her classmate.
And I was screaming, what the F? What the F? Is this really happening? I was praying out loud for the girl, and I couldn't believe it was happening. I was just crying, and he was like, well, since you got so much to say, you coming too. And I was like, what? And he, would you want some of this? Just put my hands behind my back.
Her mother, Doris Kenny, was shocked and upset when she saw the video.
My child, and I'm not mad at her, she was brave enough to speak out against what was going on and didn't back down, and it resulted in her being arrested.
Kenny was charged with disturbing schools.
But looking at the video, who was really disturbing the school? Was it my daughter, or was it the officer that came into the classroom and did that to the young girl?
In Columbia, Lauren Thomas, News 19, WLTX.
How is she disturbing the school?
Right, right. She just heard the video.
The guy came in, fucking slammed the girl to the ground. It's like, did she go making it worse? Praying and shit. That's why I say every person in that classroom is a victim as well.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that fucking teacher who apparently was gonna let it roll. If it hadn't been fucking recorded, nothing would have happened. But
Right. Every
student in there is definitely a victim. They witnessed that shit, and it sends a strong message. Like, some people was like, I can't believe somebody else didn't stand up. Well, she did, and they took her to jail.
Yes, they did.
The teacher didn't say shit, and other students, I think they got the message loud and clear. Just like McKinney, Texas, where they chased a young black man who tried to help the girl who had a knee in her back. They chased him down with guns. Like, it's not, like, the message is received. And I think it needs to stop. And black people ourselves need to stop perpetuating it and making it seem like it's okay. It's not okay. And we shouldn't be sitting around trying to justify this shit and justify our own oppression for some reason.
Come on now.
We know that this would not happen to another race.
Mm-mm.
You know, we know that this wouldn't happen if the situation was changed even a little bit. CNN was covering this. So, of course, they had to get Don on the scene.
Dummy Don on the case.
I don't know. I mean, it does look disturbing. The part that is most disturbing to me is seeing her throwing him around. As far as, and I've looked at it over and over again, as far as the desk going over, I don't know if the desk fell over because she didn't want to get up or if he pushed over. I don't know. So I think there's context to everything. I'd like to see what happened before, and I'd like to see what happened afterwards. But I do agree with everyone, including the commissioner and including Tom. It does look horrible. It does look like there's no excuse for what he's doing to her. But again, we don't know. As the commissioner said, this only shows a small slice in time of what happened. I'd like to know more before passing judgment.
Are you guys kidding me?
We don't know what happened. You weren't sitting in the room, Sunday. You don't know if she wasn't standing up.
I don't need to know more. Let me tell you this.
You do need to know more. As a prosecutor, you should want to know more. Yes, you should.
Don, that the standard here is whether or not the officer has to use this type of force, whether it's reasonable and necessary.
But how do you know without all the information as a trained professional? How do you know without all the information, Sunny?
Don, this is a young girl. This is a girl in school.
I agree with you on that. That's right. You don't know what precipitated
it. I don't need to know. We see what happened.
Yes, you do need to know.
Whether or not that force is justifiable is the issue. And the force is not justifiable.
Sunny, hold on for a second.
She is sitting there. She is not resisting. She is sitting there in a chair. That is,
you don't know if she wasn't resisting.
Hold on one second. We've got some other video. Sunny, Don, Tom, this is from a different angle, some other video that has just come in. Let's show it to our viewers.
There's no other way to look at that.
But
this is what he does.
Oh yeah.
I just saw a petition for change.org to try to get him off the air. Good luck. I hope it works. But
he's not going to work.
What's amazing to me is that's that same thing. Like I said, black men get to opt out of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't have to have empathy. I don't have to think about what if that was me. I can do some just thought experiment, some speculation about what if she maybe possibly had to deserve this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not to mention, I don't know what the fuck could be the other side of this. Like, what is the example? What if she got a gun in her pocket? What the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's just pure overreaction. To where everybody can agree that it was out of pocket except for assholes, and he decided to be one that day.
Oh yeah, that's what he gets paid to do for a living.
Yeah. And also, like, as soon as she started speaking, he started trying to talk over her. Just
of course
the fucking worst human being on the earth.
Now, one of the reasons this matters is, as you may know, there's actually a push to have more police officers involved in school.
This is on New Day, which is another CNN show.
It's because of what we fear about mass shootings. So it's important to take a look at how it works and how it doesn't. Let's take a look at it again right now with Harry Houck. You know him, friend of show, CNN law enforcement analyst, and a former NYPD detective. Live from Dallas, Mr. Mark Lamont Hill, CNN political commentator and a professor at Morehouse College. Professor Harry.
Time to troll a Negro. Let's bring on a rational black person and then a crazy skinhead white man.
Yeah, I don't care too much for CNN.
Go back and forth, guys.
Good to have you both here.
Good morning.
All right,
good
so let's look at it again, because everything is going to grow out of what actually happens. He is called to the classroom. He is already...
They really are breaking this tape down like Madden.
In the school. We'll talk about why you would have him called to a classroom and what should really be done, but here's what happens. Okay?
Okay, boom. Stop it here. All right, now, you see right there... The defensive lineman.
Right, at the 40-yard line.
The fuck?
Take a look at him. He comes in. We know there is a get out of the chair or I take you out of the chair. We know that there is resistance to that suggestion, and then this ensues. Okay? So, that's this part.
Then stop it right
this
there.
Part, what happens at the end of this necessary or unnecessary.
And all of a sudden, boom, that's how you get the touchdown.
Chair.
He intercepted right here.
Nobody getting in.
All right. Give me your hands. He's got the knee on the back. He's taking her down as you would any really violent assailant that you just chased through the streets after she took an old lady's bag and hit her over the head with a brick.
All right,
that's what he's doing here. So let's look at the... We have general issues here, Harry, right? When should you have a cop? What happens when you call a cop? What's right. going on in these schools with discipline? All true, true, true. But start with the specific. Give me the best defense for what this guy is doing in these circumstances.
Okay, first of all, let me tell you, there's a police officer in that school for a reason.
Right.
A lot of violent gang activity in that school.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But I
guarantee he just said black people, gay.
Right. You don't even know. Do you know statistics for this particular school?
Right. Do you know that she's in a gang?
Come on now.
Wouldn't that matter? Was she doing something gang-like by sitting in her chair, not participating?
Now, this officer's called to the classroom because this student will not leave the classroom. Apparently, the teacher had some kind of a problem. Now, a teacher is supposedly trained on how to handle children like this, calls the police for the officer to come in. The officer tells her twice to get out of the chair. She won't get out of the car, out of the chair. All right?
Today, I already got this queued up. You used to say in car.
Mm-hmm. Which she does not get really hurt in. The officer pulls her out.
She doesn't get really hurt in. Okay.
Handcuffs her. All right. And that's it. Can the officer do that? Yes, he can.
Why?
Do that. Because you failed to comply. You are under arrest. You're failing to comply now. All right. So the officer can use whatever force is necessary to effect an arrest. Now, it looks really bad.
Yep.
Like a lot of videos we've sat here and talked about before in the past.
That I've defended and said weren't that bad,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the murders. I mean, killings.
Yeah, I think this dude is the officer they always bring on to
the
Yeah,
they call him friend of the show. Yeah.
Right.
How bad the video looks. She did not get hurt. All right? So apparently the officer did it in a way
you know
where
that?
She didn't.
Right. You're making assumptions.
It just looks bad in the video.
Harry, if you get called to this classroom and this kid says, I'm not getting out of the room, what do you do? I'm not getting out of the chair. I'm not doing it.
You pull out of the chair.
And as you pull,
yes, twice.
She's not letting go. Then what do?
You pull her out of the chair. And
like
you
this?
Her down. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you do.
So, Chris, Mark, when,
what are you supposed to do? Stand around and wait for her to get out of the chair?
No, I think that you have to try. Well, then let me answer it. Mark, right. what do you do in this situation? You get called to the classroom. Right. You're a police officer. The teacher says, I can't control this kid. You say, get out of the chair. She says, no. Now what?
Well, before we get to the point where the police officers call, Chris, I mean, I think that's part of the problem that we have to analyze, right?
The fact right, that but that's the general management... bigger issue. I wanted to deal with this in the specific first.
No, what I'm saying, in this specific instance, this child was criminalized. This child, no, let me answer a question first. This child was criminalized when...
By the way, you notice how they always do that to the... Whoever the same person is, they immediately flip the fuck on them so they like, no, you just listen, do it. Like,
because they really don't want to hear what the fuck you got.
Like, you got to go through your whole fucking monologue.
Uninterrupted.
Of her being a gang member, violent sociopath, because she didn't want to participate in the class or
right.
she was chewing gum or talking on the phone or some shit. And now we're at, no, you answer the question. Like, nah.
When the police officer was called for classroom management, we're outsourcing classroom management
yes.
to the police now. That is part of the problem in this case, not in the abstract or in the general. I'm saying in this case.
No, I hear you. You've made that point before, but remember yeah. this. Yeah. Keep your head not
it keeps
for
happening.
That, not for the. I understand. That's why you want to look at it in the specific and the general. When people see this video, they don't think policy. They think, how was this necessary?
But maybe they should be.
Right.
Why is that my
change.
Fault? Because they stupid.
Necessary in this circumstance. So when you see this and you hear what Harry's saying and you've gotten to know Harry, you understand that it's always coming from a place of reality. When you see how the officer addresses the specific, what do you see as the criticism?
The fact how quickly he went from 0 to 60 in terms of the use of force, the type of force that was used. For example, and I don't support any use of force against this child, but for example, what would be the difference between grabbing the desk and pulling the desk forward, not laying a hand on the child's body, and physically taking a child, slamming her to the ground, and putting his knee in her back? And to say, well, it wasn't that bad because she wasn't hurt, is unreasonable. That's not the standard of whether a use of force was reasonable or not in a classroom.
Yeah, why didn't you pull the desk out?
Here's a problem. It's just a failure to comply again. Like in all these cases here, people don't listen to the police when they're giving them a command. You must comply. And then Mark's giving people the impression that you don't have to comply to police officers. And that's why we're having a lot of incidents. You're giving that impression, Mark, every time I speak to you. You always have a problem, you know.
Every time I speak to you, yeah. So they do this all the time. CNN just, hey, let's bring on two people to argue.
Right. That's the trope. Bring them on to argue with each other, regardless if it make fucking good sense or not.
Yeah. So he's been placed on leave. I wonder the Ben Fields as the officer. Wonder when that Kickstarter is gonna start.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the Kickstarter's already warming up.
Yep. I already saw a thing that was talking about how the officer has a black girlfriend.
That don't got nothing to do with what he did.
Yeah, so he obviously can't be racist. But yeah, that's the Springfield shit so far. Let's see. Let's talk about some different news.
Okay.
Leggings ain't britches, Karen.
Okay. Oh yeah, they ain't kiss my ass on this bullshit.
Yeah, you need to stop. First of all, isn't it weird that we always have these discussions about what women should be wearing and why?
Come on now, nobody ever policing men. Nobody ever telling you that you don't look sexy in the wife beater. Nobody ever telling you that you look crazy in the oversized tee. You know, ever telling you that, hey, you know, you might want to cover that beer belly up. You know, nobody ever telling you nobody wants to see your man titties today. You know, nobody ever telling dudes this. But for women, you can't wear this. You can't wear that. You got to wear your hair like this. We don't feel like this is a pro. Nobody cares. Nobody asked you.
Good morning. I know I've already done a video in the past couple days, but ladies, it's pretty much legging weather. I love legging weather. I don't care if you don't.
Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, looking at the picnic cloth shirt this woman has on, I'm not really sure.
It is picnic color.
I'm not sure anybody should be taking that fashion advice
from her. Hey, boo-boo.
Oh, yeah, she looks like I just want to lay her shirt down on top of a table and put some banana pudding on it.
Right.
She telling
bring my sandwiches from the house.
Telling people what to wear.
Black leggings, don't judge me. They are comfortable. They don't cut into you. They're always the right length.
And she's talking in the car, which is another new thing I see a lot on Facebook. People recording themselves sitting in the car doing like 2-minute speeches and then posting it to Facebook.
I know you look this crazy when people walking past you going, why are they talking to themselves in the car?
This has 13 million views.
Oh my God.
I feel like pajamas. I love them. You can dress them up. You can dress them down. You can look like a frat girl, or you can look pretty classy in them, depending on what you choose to pair with them. This morning, while trying on my leggings, I couldn't find my normal leggings. So I had to borrow Mackenzie's for a hot minute. And I'm like, whoops.
Like, we know who Mackenzie is.
I'm assuming her daughter.
Okay.
So I'm heading to the store right now to get me some other leggings. This is why I'm making this video. Some of you people like to use leggings as breeches, as pants. That ain't how they're supposed to be wore. If you can't wear a shirt that covers your tail so I can't tell that you got some Aztec print thongs on, you don't need to be wearing them. That's rule number one.
Who are you to determine this? It's a lot of women that like dressing like that and a lot of men that like looking. What's wrong with you, woman?
Sound a little jealous.
Sound a little jealous. That,
sound a little jealous to me.
That you might not have the body to bust the eye. But like this.
Sound like ain't nobody want to look at your Aztec print in a while.
Mm-mm. Honey, I don't mind, honey. Wear them leggings. Let your ass show, ladies. No problem with me.
If they're too tight that I can see you got a tattoo on your leg, they're too tight. They ain't to be wore, period. That's called pantyhose, honey. Pantyhose. Lord Jesus.
She keep calling them britches.
I feel like this is a white woman. Karen, is this a white woman?
She look like it to me.
She look like a white woman, right?
To me, she does.
I feel like she, that Lord Jesus, a little racy, little sesame. Like maybe she dates a black man or got a black friend. And she just tried to put a sassy black woman, Lord Jesus, on her.
Leggings and britches.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah, that feels a little right. Like she's mocking us. With that Lord Jesus.
White leggings. Them's a big old no-no. You can see all kinds of stuff through them. See, leggings.
What kind of
most
stuff?
Most of the time, it don't matter how big you are. As long as you keep the tail end covered. You can be a big old girl. I'm a big girl. I'm a thick girl. I got thick legs. I got thick calves. I got a big old butt. And I got a big old gut. So, you got to conceal it. You wear your longer shirt.
Everybody ain't got a big old gut and big old butt like you and big old legs. Some people don't want to conceal their shit.
Right, and they shouldn't have to.
She try to put everybody on the same page. So yeah, it's like, it'll be like we all fit in and none of us are hot.
No, just because you walk around with a picnic cloth basket sheet don't mean everybody else do.
Tunic. Sometimes you can wear them with a little dress. That's fine. Wear them with boots. You can wear them with flats. You can wear them with all sorts of things. But make sure your tail is covered. Nobody wants to see what kind of panties you got on.
You sure?
Nobody wants to see anything going.
First of all, we do want to see it. You a goddamn lie.
Ain't that the truth?
That's number one.
Ain't nothing wrong with the thongs.
Right.
Up in any bar.
It's a whole section of fucking porn just based on
right
candid shots of women in public being like, look at that ass.
Mm-hmm. Damn in yoga pants.
Right.
Nobody wants to see anything going up in any body part that you have, I assure you. I mean, that stuff's left for the bedroom. It don't need to be running around town. It's awful. Don't do it. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Fuck you. I guarantee she got her next video is like, I got another thing to say.
Of course.
Because she got one of those voices.
Don't y'all listen to her.
You in this natural hell, okay? All you black women, don't nobody want to see it. Okay, put it up.
Mm-mm.
Put some cream and crack up in there. And you straighten it on out.
Mm-mm.
Take a hot comb to that mess.
Don't you listen to this woman. Put them leggings and yoga pants on and go on out in the world.
Look at Beyonce. Just put you some gold hair on your top of your head. And you get out here and you stun on. Look at me. I wear my natural hair. It's long and silky and blonde. Guarantee she dates a black man. She got that feeling. But yeah, so
don't y'all listen to her.
Yeah, of Cleveland. Officials caught a drone trying to drop contraband into a prison over the penitentiary wall.
They've been doing this for years, just happened to get caught this time.
They had drones for years, drone technology?
Yeah, the prisons, they've been sneaking all kinds of shit across there. This is the one time somebody didn't do what they was supposed to do, or the camera turned wrong, or somebody looked up in the air. But I guarantee you, this drone been dropping shit off, been dropping shit over them walls for years.
Yeah, it was a unmanned aerial vehicle that had crashed after hitting the razor wire fence.
Right. Somebody messing around, looking at their screen, was like, fuck, let me turn that. Oh, shit, man. Because you know it had a little camera on it so they could see where they was going.
Yeah, I've seen a drone. My favorite video is this drone that landed into a pit of fucking snakes one time.
Wow.
This dude was flying too close and
I seen that. That shit was hilarious because it was down there and the snakes was just combed all over it.
Yeah. Around 9 a.m., officials say they noticed an unmanned aerial vehicle that crashed after hitting the razor fence. The Department of Corrections said the drone was carrying a package with two 12-inch hacksaw blades.
Ooh!
Maybe to cut through the bars? I don't know. The shanks, maybe? 12 inches. A cell phone battery, a hands-free device, two packs of cigarettes, two packs of cigars, two tubes of super glue, a bag of marijuana, a bag of methamphetamine, and a bag containing less than a gram of heroin.
Could you imagine the person that was expecting that package?
Well, it's probably the biggest drug dealer in the game.
I bet you they was livid, and I bet you they was like, and I would feel, if I was the person.
I mean, well, you know, it was a black person because they had Newports.
Duh! And the person that crashed that shit better leave the country because they're coming to get you.
The cigars was black and miles. I wouldn't leave shit. Why would I leave the country? What the fuck you gonna do? You gonna come get me? You in prison.
No, they ain't got to come get you.
They caught the hacksaws.
You. they ain't got to come and get you for something to happen to you.
I guarantee I'm the only one to know how to fly a drone. Guarantee that shit.
At the crew.
Ah! Yeah, ain't gonna do shit.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm done working with your ass. I ain't going to jail. You got caught because you dumb. Now here I go. But yeah, that drone contraband.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else happened. American Egg Board CEO retires amidst early vegan mayo controversy. That's right, guys. Shit's getting serious in the egg game.
Vegan mayo.
The CEO of the American Egg Board has stepped down earlier than planned due to getting some, well, egg on her face. Joanne Ivey retired at the end of last month instead of December 31st as scheduled due to the release of emails that indicated she tried to stop the sale of Hampton Creek's vegan mayonnaise at Whole Foods.
Yeah, because everything made with egg. And she mm-hmm. was like, we can't have y'all making gluten-free mayo, or egg-free mayo.
Exactly. Last month, it was revealed that the Egg Board, which is funded by the egg industry and run by the USDA, had been plotting to take down San Francisco-based Hampton Creek, which makes vegan mayo alternative just mayo. Emails that were obtained through the Freedom of Information Act show the board discussing whether or not to alert the FDA about how the name Just Mayo is misleading. They also joked about putting out a gangster-style hit on Hampton Creek CEO. There's also emails that show Ivy accepted a consultant's offer to make that phone call to keep Just Mayo off of Whole Foods shelves. Damn.
And to an extent, I don't know if there's a patent on the word mayo, but to an extent I can understand them having a problem with it being named Just Mayo because they go, you're not mayo.
Well, maybe they didn't want to put all their eggs in one basket, Karen.
Apparently not.
While the USDA declined to comment on the reason for Ivy's early departure, it comes just as the federal agency launched its investigation into the Egg Board over its actions related to to Hampton Creek. Even though the USDA technically runs the board, it claims in a statement that it is committed to establishing a level playing field that protects and promotes all appropriate agricultural endeavors, and that the agency does not condone any effort to limit competing products in commerce.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Even then, it does raise some eyebrows about the agency's responsibility and the controversy. For the controversy is the one that's investigating it. So yeah, it's like we're also looking into it, but we also caused it.
Right, which means nothing's gonna happen. But also they happen to get caught. Could you imagine the other shit that never hit the market because it was like, nah, fuck that. You're not affecting egg sales.
Yeah,
this ain't the first time they've done this.
This is a pure poor example.
Yes, it is.
Oh yeah, those puns were excellent.
Yes, they was. Well, I guess she got scrambled.
Yep, she's just a shell of herself now. She finally cracked.
I guess she did.
Let's see what else is going on here. All right, let's stop with all these yolks, okay?
Get to the next. Are you sure? You sure? You know, all mm-hmm. she had to do is be hard boiled.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing's going to happen to her anyway because she's got egg white privilege. London coffee shop Fuck Coffee is being forced to change its offensive name.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Fuck Coffee.
It sounds like Fuck Coffee, but I don't think that's not what you said.
Yeah, I'll put a picture up and you guys can see it yourself.
That name's hilarious.
Fuck Coffee is the name of it. The London coffee shop has gotten in trouble over its very cheeky name. The team behind South London's Fuck Coffee received a letter from their landlord's lawyer saying to remove the offensive sign, according to Mashable. Fuck Coffee, which is known for its PG-13 loyalty cards, tweeted out the letter with a sassy caption, "No humor, please. We're British." The coffee shop now has it till October 27th, or the landlord will take steps to remove the sign themselves. Ironically, they actually could keep the sign if they take the K out.
Okay.
Because it's F-U-C-K-O-F-F-E-E. Right. So you know, like, they meant to be offensive.
Right.
But if they took it out, they'd be okay.
All you do is just drop a letter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I just thought that was funny. The Fuck Coffee. Oh man,
I don't even like coffee. I would just go in there just to see what's happening.
Cold pizza no more. Domino's re-engineers the delivery car.
I have a question then. From my understanding, and I worked at pizza places, so are you gonna supply these vehicles to your people, or are they gonna be driving their own vehicles?
You have to buy a pizza car, Karen, and then you get the job.
That sounds about right.
Forget insulated bags. Domino's Pizza Inc. wants to keep your pie warm during delivery with its in-car oven. The Ann Arbor-based pizza company.
And that shit gonna catch fire.
Is rolling out a specially designed pizza delivery vehicle. It's a 2015 Chevrolet Spark called the DXP or Delivery Expert.
No, not the Spark. Mm-mm.
A Chevrolet.
No, Spark on fire.
The DX. If you get stuck in traffic, your pizza get burned.
Right. Some water get in there, your shit will shut down. Mm-mm.
The DXP has a built-in.
Well, I have a question. Do you look on your thing? You know how it has like gas, air, heat. Do you look at one of them and it be like oven?
Oh, you mean for the. Wait, gas, air, heat. What are you talking
about? You know, because I have people's dashboards are electronic now. You have one for your gas. You have one that tells if your car is getting hot or not. Yeah. Are you going to have one for oven?
Right. Can you turn the oven at 350?
Right. Are you going to touch a button? Wait a minute. I need to turn to 475.
Yeah. Somebody's going to mess. I tried to turn the AC. I accidentally fucking froze the pizza.
Right. Somebody going to turn that shit down too low.
The DXP has a built-in warming oven behind the driver's door, which can hold about 8 pizzas. 8?
Behind the driver's door.
The car itself was reconfigured so that there's only the driver's seat and room for up to 80 pizzas inside items. Shit. The Domino's.
I guess if somebody makes a large order.
I don't know. 8, that's a lot of pizzas. 80 pizzas inside items. The Domino's DXP is the first purpose-built vehicle aimed at revolutionizing pizza delivery, said Russell Wiener, president of Domino's USA. This innovation allows drivers to do their jobs with greater ease and efficiency. The car took more than 3 years to develop and was the combined idea of Domino's Michigan-based automotive engineering company, Roush Enterprises, and former General Motors research and development executive Kenneth Baker.
And I think a lot of it is, my personal opinion, is to combat people ordering shit online or frozen. Like, people got other alternatives other than like the big chains. So they feel like the number one complaint is my pizza's cold. So they figure out this is a way to combat that problem. But we'll see. Cause you know, now, pizza places aren't just pizza. You pizza, you wings, you breadsticks, you cheese sticks.
Well, they say 80 pizzas and sides. So they're gonna have room for all of it. So you're gonna
be warming up wings and everything. What is that kind of smell like?
I don't think they're gonna be warming it up. I bet you it just keeps it warm.
So it's not gonna be baking in the car.
That's my guess. I mean, is that what you thought was gonna happen? You gonna be reaching back there putting fucking toppings on a pizza, Karen? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you would have the pizza.
Let me stop at this light, put some pepperoni on real quick. That didn't even make sense.
I mean, the pizza's gonna be done, but it was one of those things where I'm assuming that it was to help maintain the temperature.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why would that be difficult to do? I mean, they already keep them in those, like, those things that hold pizzas and insulate the warmth. So they would just probably switch over to an oven, you know?
I wouldn't want no oven in my car, shit.
I mean, I wouldn't either, obviously.
Yeah, it's hard to drive with everything with the regular vehicle.
It probably won't even be that hot. It's just going to be hot enough to keep the pizza hot when it's delivered.
Right, that sounds like a fucking lawsuit. All you're going to have somebody reach over there, burn themselves, yeah. Something. Your car door set on fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
something bad going to definitely
happen. Yeah, you're going to be coming at breaking news. Domino's pizza smashing to somebody. Everything goes in flames. Pizza smell for miles. Mm-mm, yeah. I'm good.
They're rolling these cars out to 25 markets nationwide, including San Diego and Seattle. We'll see where else they go. Yeah,
people going to be talking to people. It's been smelling like pepperoni out here for 3 damn days. Mm-mm, I'm good.
Why would it be smelling like pepperoni?
The pizza car crashed somewhere, caused a wreck. I mean, you got 80 pieces in there and size the wings. That's going to cause a smell and you fucking crash.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. A bride.
I'm sorry, y'all.
A bride gives her father certificate of purity to prove that she's still a virgin on her wedding day. A bride has proved to her father that her hymen is intact with a certificate of purity. Breland Bowman, guess the race, black, presented the documents signed by her gynecologist to her father Michael on her wedding day to prove she is a virgin. Wonder what she found her gynecologist willing to forge that. She married longtime boyfriend Timothy in front of 3,500 people. She wrote on Instagram, I was able to present a certificate of purity to my dad signed by my doctor with my hymen and that my hymen was still intact. If one person has made a decision to wait until marriage to decide or decide to stop and wait, we have done our job. She wrote on another photo, let's make Jesus famous. Cause you know, ain't nobody heard of Jesus.
Before, right.
She looks beautiful in this dress with her boyfriend though. This is a great picture.
Yeah, it's pretty, but you weird.
Weird? Why is she weird?
Your daddy shouldn't want to know that.
I mean, he just needed a certificate. You know, he got to pay for the wedding anyway.
Certificate my ass.
Proof that she wasn't lying. The certificate says on the 10th of the day of May 2006, I, Breland. Wait, why is this 2006? Why is this just coming up in 2015? Mm-hmm. On the 10th of May 2006... I made a vow to glorify God in my body and spirit, which are God's, because I have been bought with a price, Jesus. I have kept this commitment and present this certificate to my father, Dr. Michael A. Freeman, to show how I have honored God and my earthly father in my body by maintaining my purity, and that my hymen is intact on the 10th day of October 2015.
Yeah, and my person
feels like some shit that happened in like 1800s.
That, and it's a lot of things going here. It's a way of judgment. A lot of people use that as a form of judgment. You whores out there fucking before you get married. And it's weird and it's creepy. It's just creepy. I'm sorry. No dad should want to know the information. And even if a woman, and a lot of it goes back to sexism. Like you're worthless or you're not as valuable as a woman if you have sex prior to marriage. It says nothing about the male. The male didn't have to go and give a certificate to his mama talking about I ain't fucking no girl before I got married. Nope. That's the problem I have with this. All the virginity and the purity and all that shit always falls on a woman, but there's nothing supposed to be pure about the man.
Well, also it's just her father owns her body until her husband owns it. Right? It was like, you got to present this to your father. I mean, if you did want to decide to not have sex till marriage, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either.
But it's weird that it's dedicated to your father.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. Society has just this thing where it's like women owe their sex to their husband or and it's not for themselves, and some women buy into that wholeheartedly, you know, and it feels like that's what's happening here, where it's like her sex is for a gift to her husband more than anything else,
right? And you publicly are putting your sexuality or your lack of sex on display. If you choose to have sex, not to have sex, and who you have it, that's your personal business. Mm-hmm. And it's one, like I said, it's my personal opinion, and it's one of those things where it's like people who didn't accomplish this, are they less than now because they couldn't get a certificate for their dad?
I don't know, but see, that's their insecurity. That's the other thing too. I think people are putting their insecurity on her. This is her belief system.
True.
If that she didn't say, and the rest of y'all ain't shit.
That's
she,
true.
She may believe that or she may not, but that's not what that post said. So if people feel insecure about the decisions that they made with their bodies or how she may view them, that's on them. She gets to decide for her body and her relationship how she wants to treat it. I think that's really what equality and feminism should be about.
Right.
The fact that she got to decide for herself. I didn't see anything that showed that she was somehow then putting it on everybody else. And I may not agree with her reasoning, but I'm not her body. I'm not her. And, you know, I don't believe the things that she believes. She believes there's a value in that I don't believe. I didn't have to marry her. I was saying this yesterday on the show. Anybody that believes some crazy shit, there's another person that believes that crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, and I'm not to say that disbelief is crazy, but right. But I'm saying even if it was like some crazy shit, like I think you should be able to kick your woman in the back of the head once a week. There's there's a woman out there that's like, I need to be kicked in the back of the head once a week. No matter how unhealthy I think that is and fucked up it is.
Right.
There's always somebody. You know what I mean? There's people that think BDSM is some perverted, fucked up, weird shit.
It's not.
But then they're with people that, you know, you don't, like, but then that person is not going to be with you. They can go be with somebody that's into that.
Right.
And they're two consenting adults that do that shit. Nobody's being abused here.
Mm-mm.
It's just one of those things where, to me, it's weird because it's dedicated to her father and
right.
And he gets a certificate, you know, but, you know, good luck to them. I don't care. You know, I don't have a strong reaction to her doing that because it's ultimately her, her husband, her father. It's their weird shit that they're into. It's their thing.
Right. And I guess for me, and yeah, I it's one of those things where it is me putting my insecurities out on her, because it's one of those things where I'm like, well, what is it that makes you, well, yeah, I guess what is it that makes you want to do this? What is it? Because you
Jesus?
Yeah, it's like you're putting yourself on display for what reasons?
But that's one of the things. See, the body is your temple, and she didn't want to, quote unquote, defile it by having sex. There's a lot of pressure on women to not have sex if they're religious. You know, I don't think that's that far-fetched. That's what a lot of people want for their daughters. That's what a lot of women want for themselves. And if that's the decision she's made, that's the decision she made.
True.
Same way you can become a Catholic priest and be like, I'm never, ever, ever fucking anybody again.
True. I just...
Except for little boys.
True. I just think it's weird that, you know, but we've talked about this before, how your sex and sexuality as a woman is always tied to a man. And I think that's the biggest problem that I have with that.
Is what sucks about this story, is that she dedicated it to her father. That is weird to me that as a father, that is a thing you would want.
Right.
Is the certificate that my little girl has not been having sex. But, yeah, if she thinks that's what she wants to do with her body, what can I say?
Right. And like I said, and I don't have no problem with her sustaining and not sustaining. I guess my biggest thing is, like I said, it boils back to your sex and sexuality is not yours. It's always becomes.
But in her, but for the record, in her reasoning, she would say it was because of Jesus, not because of her dad.
Oh, okay.
That's what she's saying in her thing is, I'm doing this for Jesus. I dedicated my sex to Jesus. I'm not having no sex.
Right.
I'm gonna make Jesus famous. Because, you know, ain't nobody heard that man or his book before.
Right. And y'all sinful ass having bitches out there.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's creepy to me.
Yes,
I think the whole Puritan pledge thing is very misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
But
like this, that's the biggest problem that I have with it more than anything else.
Yeah, well, I think religion in general is very misogynistic.
True.
You know what I mean? So it's almost like I know people that are religious that buy into this stuff, you mm-hmm. know, like what they're adults, they've made this decision. There's not shit I can say about it. You know, it's not hurting anybody but themselves if that. And these are the things that help them be happy. You know, I feel like it's sad that they have this needless guilt trip over this shit all the time. It's like, oh, I had sex. I'm a less worthy human being than I was before.
Right.
And I think it's sad that is put upon them. But if they bought into that, that's what they bought into. And it's not hurting anybody.
No, it's not.
But themselves, if that. And I don't know how well balanced and, you know, cool she is with it to even begin to speculate how it's affected her life personally. You know, and I hope it works out for her. I don't have any ill will towards that woman.
Oh, no, me either. Because
I think some people hear this shit and they go, oh, wait till she starts fucking him and realize that she can't have sex with him because it's terrible. Or, you know, wait till she's allergic to his sperm or some weird shit. Like, no, I hope it works out, man. Love is a foolish game anyway. So
yeah, we are rolling the dice.
Yeah, good luck with your roll of the dice. And, you know, she chose her method of going about it. Other people will choose theirs. Ben Carson apologizes for plagiarism in his book. That's right. The book's publisher says it will update future printings. He says, I apologize and I'm working with my editors to rectify the situation.
You just fell down the post, my friend.
I doubt it. I don't think this could hurt him at all. Ben Carson apologized.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because a lot of those people probably don't read. Yeah, they don't read.
I just don't think it could hurt him because they don't care.
Right. They don't care and they don't read, yes.
Yeah. No, they read.
They read.
Republicans read any book about fucking how America is the greatest and Democrats are the worst. They'll read anything.
Okay.
Put it in front of them. That's why he really doing this shit. He gonna sell some books, I bet. But yeah, America the Beautiful, which is uncovered by the BuzzFeed News. Had instances of plagiarism uncovered by BuzzFeed News. I attempted to appropriately cite and acknowledge all sources in America the Beautiful, but inadvertently missed some. I apologize, and I'm working with my editors to rectify the situation. He said in a statement to BuzzFeed, it has become apparent that further source citation is appropriate in Dr. Carson's America the Beautiful, said a spokesman for Dr. Carson. The book did not sell well initially, but after his speech at the 2013 National Prayer Breakfast, it went viral. The book sales rapidly increased. As of this week, according to the book scan data, it sold 60,000 hardcover copies and 280,000 paperback copies.
Woo!
So
they is buying and reading.
Mm-hmm. One author whose work Carson copied also put out a statement defending Carson. I feel grossly misrepresented in the BuzzFeed article, said Federer, who Bill Federer had his shit stole. Errata is not plagiarism. Any missing attributions are simply editor's oversight. It is disingenuous for the writer of BuzzFeed article to level the accusation of plagiarism against Dr. Carson. I told him that I hoped he would find them interesting and that he had full permission to use any of the material in the books as he liked. With 16 acknowledgments and citations, it is clear that Dr. Ben Carson made significant effort to make corrections attribution. Indeed, his extensive acknowledgments have resulted in numerous people contacting me to purchase my book. So there you go, guys. Being out here stealing and plagiarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1999, Ben Carson apparently had a whole different mindset. That's right. In 1999, in his book, Dr. Ben Carson wrote that our nation's history on racial injustices made it impossible for the black community to think of the judicial system in anything but racial terms, and that white Americans were only able to view racial violence in a modern context. In his book, The Big Picture, released by Zondervan, Carson argued white Americans had no grasp on the history of racial violence in this country. He wrote of a time his mother was thrown in jail for a minor traffic violation as an example of personal history of the racial injustice in this country and in this criminal justice system. Carson, who talked about how the incident shaped his own view of the Black Lives Matter movement in an interview with BuzzFeed News earlier this month, he was writing about the different racial reactions to the O.J. Simpson case. Black Americans, on the other hand, find it almost impossible to think about fairness or justice in anything but racial terms, because of our nation historically recorded a record of unfairness and injustice to our race. As I said in the previous chapter, no matter how often we are told we need to get over the past, white people need to understand these things are not easy for us to forget. Maybe he was so soft-spoken that nobody realized that he was making a case for why black people experience racism and aren't going to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this man?
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Yes, he realized that didn't sell.
He really is Billy D. Williams and fucking Undercover Brother. It's a black hero that decided to run for president and turn sellout.
Oh, Lord.
It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. This is 1999. This wasn't that long ago. He understood racism.
1999 is a long time ago.
It ain't that goddamn long ago, Karen.
You sure?
He's an old man. He ain't senile.
Mm-mm. You know,
I work on brains.
You know how people is. 2 years ago is ancient.
White people think of racial violence in a modern context, he wrote, such as the black riots that erupted in the wake of the Rodney King verdict. They have no grasp of the history of racial violence in this country, as illustrated by the total unawareness of what Newsweek admitted that there were two facts that every American should know. Between 1885 and 1900, there were at least 2,500 blacks lynched or murdered as the KKK consolidated its hold on the post-Reconstruction South. In 1741, 14 slaves were burned at the stake and 18 others were hanged because of fears of a slave revolt in New York City. He wrote that?
I don't believe that.
Yo. Is this an act? Did him and Colin Powell like make a bet or some shit?
Ah!
Like, one of us gotta run and fuck with these white people. This is gonna be good. Obamacare is slavery. I'll take the votes, please. Thank you. Carson cited an example of his own personal history with racial injustice and arrest of his mother for frivolous charges. Too many other incidents of injustice are not merely ancient history, but personal history, even current events for the majority of black people. I remember in Boston when I was a child, my older cousins, sons of the aunt and uncle who took our family in, were arrested and thrown into jail for some minor infractions of the law. When one of my cousins protested the abuse, he was beaten so severely by the police that he almost died. I vividly remember seeing the results of that beating a few years ago when my own mother was questioned by a policeman who stopped her for a routine traffic violation in a Detroit suburb. The officer angrily told her she met the description of a woman wanted for abducting an elderly couple. He promptly arrested her, had her impounded, and threw her into jail. I had to call a lawyer friend of mine, a fellow Yale alumnus, who used his contacts as a senior partner in a major Detroit law firm to get her released and to see that the bogus charges were dismissed. I told that officer, I think you want that woman over there. That's my mother. And he went over there and got her. He went right over there and got her. Asked about how the personal history shaped his view of the Black Lives Matter movement earlier this month, Carson told BuzzFeed the criminal justice system could be improved upon. Well, I recognize that there are, inappropriate actions done by policemen, just like there are inappropriate actions done by doctors, nurses, teachers, even journalists. It doesn't make them all bad, and it doesn't create an overall impression of them all, okay? And I think it probably not the most reasonable position to take. That's because you have a police officer that does something bad, that all police are bad. Having said that, do we always need to always be vigilant and pay attention to the justice system? Absolutely. Do we need to look at, mandatory incarceration of people involved in nonviolent crimes? Of course we do. We don't have to send them to a university to make them into more hardened criminals. So, yeah, all those things are things that could be improved upon. In 1999, he noted most black Americans could cite similar personal experiences of injustice.
What?
Right.
This is not the same man.
Who is this nigga?
Mm-hmm. Why are you lying?
The spook who sat by the door and shit.
Ha ha!
Most black people can cite similar personal experiences of injustice. President Clinton's Commission on Race specifically cited the injustice of racial profiling, which many police use to identify potential criminals. It is employed often in traffic stops for crimes sometimes derisively referred to in the African American community as driving while black.
Oh, Lord.
He knows our ways. He knows. He's in on this. I don't know, man. I'm starting to feel like maybe Ben Carson gonna fucking win and be like, ta-da! I'm black, bitch! I don't really talk like this.
He gonna get in office. He was like, it ain't the Popeyes organization, it's goddamn Popeyes.
He gonna have Popeyes chicken in the Oval Office.
Ah, he gonna come out with his Popeyes black card. I got a black card, bitch.
I can stop pretending it's Texas Peter and start talking like this, nigga. Now you let a real nigga in here, you thought Barack was bad.
Right.
Wait till you see what I do.
Right, I'm gonna use hot sauce.
First things first.
Look at Tabasco.
Statistics support that many blacks have never doubted that our justice system mets out different treatment to blacks and whites. The disproportionate percentage of black murderers versus white murderers who receive the death penalty is just one example. In the 1998 Race Commission report, cited another thing when it urged the president to reduce the disparity in sentences for crimes involving powder cocaine in its concentrated form, crack. Or as I like to call it, Popeye's biscuits. I've been to that organization several times. The board said longer sentences for crime involving crack largely involve poor, black, or Hispanic offenders are morally and intellectually indefensible. So there you go, man. Think he'll let me read his book for his audio book.
That shit gonna
put he'll let me do it, put everybody to sleep.
Everybody to sleep.
And in 1999, my mother was arrested for
That's how you can do brain surgery so good.
I put myself to sleep. I'm sorry about that. What was he like when he tried to holler at Candy Carson?
Oh, Lord.
You know, let me get in that pussy, girl. Let me get some of that tonight. I think I might try to, you know, insert my penis into your vagina several times in a rapid fashion.
I'm good.
If that's a thing you would be into.
I'm good.
Let's do a Vala Alert. Can't remember if we did this yesterday. Yeah, we did do this yesterday. All right, yeah, let's do Vala Alert. Where's my music? Yeah. Oh, and of course, 100 for everything we talked about to start the show.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, oh there yeah. Everybody. Hey, you know I'm looking for a fast stop.
Spot wet and a head something fire. Gotti here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't call them down no more. Oh, now we call them 5 star. 5 star nigga, that's a 5 star click. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay a bill, get a hell fix, might even pay a rent. And the way she give it to me, that's money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, B. Yo man is a scrub. See, she love me, now she love you, not now all my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call a Gucci girl and beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star bitch. And that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star. If your credits go high, feet and nails stay fly. Keep your juice box wet, and your head something fire. You a 5-star, and you a 5-star, and you a... All right. Here are your choices, chat room. Number one, Groupie tells I hooked up with Nick Young in Vegas. Number two, Groupie tells Will Gate of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number three, Baller Mail woman says Minnesota Vikings Cordero Patterson called her a black bitch.
Oh shit.
Number four, Baller Mail loving hip hop Hollywood's Miles Brock has always been gay and Amber knew.
Oh Lord, she knew.
All right, those are your choices. Karen, tally the votes. It's your boy, Yo Gotti. I do great A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and this the remix. And I'm still out here looking for a 5-star chick. When I catch her, I'ma bless her with a 5-star kid. She a natural born hustler. She ain't chasing no suckers. Only mess with real niggas. She ain't never fucked a buster. So your card and your jewelry, that shit really don't excite her. And your hating assholes in the club won't fight her. She was born in the A with the schooling D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas, then you move to Tennessee. If you ain't a five-star sorter, go ahead and face it, fake Gucci, fake Louis, short that, that'll make it basic.
It ain't a five-star bitch. It
ain't a
five-star bitch.
It ain't a
five-star bitch.
It ain't a
five-star bitch.
See, I'm a five-star bitch, cause I ate that other bitch. She be struggling for her.
It's from a tie.
Oh, we got a tie. Nobody wanted to break the tie. Okay, so it's between
3 and 4.
Okay, so Cordero Patterson called somebody a black bitch, or Miles has always been gay. Karen, I'll let you pick which one.
Ooh. Oh, let's do number 4.
All right. Love and Hip Hop, Hollywood. Miles, who you guys may know as half of the couple, Miles and Milan. The two, one's openly out and one's in the closet on the show, but I guess this baller male is saying that's not true in real life. This morning we received a baller male from someone who claims they know the true tea on Miles Brock of Love and Hip Hop, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
Mm.
Yesterday, Miles and his boo, maybe ex-boo, Milan Christopher, did an interview with Ebro in the morning where Miles made it seem as if he was in the closet and no one ever came to him with the whispers regarding his homosexuality. According to this baller mail, that is simply not true. Check out what the reader said below. Disclaimer, baller mails are submitted by our readers and are protected by federal statute 47 USC 230. BallAlert.com cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Since I live for your website, I thought you should be the first to know that the real tea is on Miles and Amber's relationship on Love and Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin is gay, lives in LA, and has known Miles for 15 years.
Oh, shit.
He used to wear makeup and still does. He used to twirl about voguing all gay houses back in the day. I don't know what that means. Voguing at gay houses back in the day. This isn't a joke. This is confirmed. As you know, the story is supposedly that Miles and Amber went to high school together. This is true. They went to Westchester, but they are best friends and always have been and never dated. The whole relationship on the show is 500% fake. And after my cousin told me this, I watched it and yep, it's fake. It isn't even funny. Well, that wouldn't be the first time we heard reality TV show was all a lie, according to 11-8.
Right.
Here's a comment. Selena says it looked faked. There's no way anymore could guess he was gay. His family couldn't play it off either. They all knew. If you listen to Amber, she kept saying they were best friends. Elise says so many crazy folk on social media believe Mona's mess. LOL, they are pissed off too. It's like folks forget that it is scripted, quote unquote, reality. She has always known. Come to think of it, if I imagine him with foundation, he seems familiar as heck.
Oh my.
Crystal C says, if people believe that relationship was real, then they believe anything. He blinked gay. Bye.
How the hell you blink gay?
He blinked gay.
What did he do? Blink sparkles or glitter? What's happening
she's
here?
She's right though, man. When I watch the show, I do be like, he blinking gay. Like even when he blink, he got a gay blink. Why is he trying to act like people don't know? Selena says, laugh my ass off at Crystal C. Carlos says, at Crystal, you made me laugh so hard at what you said. In real life, nobody cares what you do behind closed doors, but television wants you to care about what people do in private. We don't care about that. We don't care that he plays with poop. Ew.
Oh.
We are interested in fecal fun. Some of us are normal and just want to beat soft female butt cheeks from the back and skeet on hairless female backs whilst we listen to soft cries of agony. The pooper scoopers can keep that to themselves.
Oh, Lord.
Well, that went extremely homophobic.
Yes, it did. Quickly.
Jesus, man. Carlos got problems, too. He's trying to compete with hating ass Terrell Jones, man.
I ain't, though.
You know what? That one was short. Let's do the other one too.
Which was 3.
Yeah, Cordero Patterson. I got it. Baller Mail, woman says Minnesota Vikings Cordero Patterson called her a black bitch. We received a baller mail from a young lady who was pretty upset by the mistreatment she received from a baller. Disclaimer, baller mails are submitted by our readers and are protected by federal statute 47 USC 230. BallAlert.com cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Hi, my name is Ashley and I'm 23 years old and I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been following your page for a while now and I love to read the interesting stories you guys write, but I never in my life thought that I would be submitting something personal that happened to me. I was in Minneapolis visiting for a couple of days. A coworker of mine decided to take me to some small local club called Tangerines. I met a really nice guy there and I was enjoying my time, but later as the night went on, he had a friend that for some reason was bothered that I was talking to his friend.
Ooh.
To be honest, I don't really know what triggered him, but he went off about me being black and I'm like, okay, what are you upset about? I'm not even talking to you. And he's like, you're a black bitch. Your hair is fake. I'm like, okay, so is your mother's. Who cares? Then he gets up and walks up to my face and now I'm like, what are you gonna do? And he's cursing and still talking shit. And I'm like, what is your problem? And I'm talking to your boyfriend. Why are you mad? He just constantly kept calling me black bitch and saying my hair is fake. Then he went on about how he made $2 million a year. He was telling his friend, take her home, bro, as if I was leaving the club to go fuck his friend. I've never in my life been called a black bitch before or been disrespected by a person. You never been disrespected by a person. What a charmed life you've led.
Ain't that the truth?
I carry myself like a lady always, especially when I'm in the streets.
Especially when you're in the streets.
So the guy that I was originally talking to, name was Nicole. I went to his Instagram and I guess he plays for the Minnesota Vikings. Then of course I found his friend who is also on the team. His name is Cordero Patterson. I went to his Instagram and of course he is with a white woman, but also has pictures of his mother who is very much black and has fake hair. He claims to love his mother, but is out in the streets disrespecting women who look just like her. I cried so much because, one, I did not understand why this man was coming for me. And also because I have two brothers who I love dearly. I support black men, and it's sad to know that there are nasty, disgusting people like this in the world. I one day hope that these black men, hold on, I need a second, who don't know who they are, learn to love and respect their sisters. I feel like there are pieces of this story missing. For example, why on earth did he start disrespecting her in the first place? Is this just some random thing he does when he's drunk? Hell, or not drunk for that matter? That is vile and disgusting. Not only is it disrespectful to women, but to black women. If this is true, I hope he cleans this up and issues an apology to this young lady. Here's the comments. Carlos says, poor baby. I'm sure nobody has ever called her that before. Her virgin ears have been tainted. Sandy Cheek says, people aren't going to say anything to you unless you say something to them first. I doubt this is real. Terrell Jones, hating ass Terrell Jones, says, she must have tried to stunt on him, not knowing who he was. She's just trying to get black woman to turn against him. Patterson is a beast in Madden, so I think she just hate him because she's ugly and he want to know parts of that funky loose pussy.
Oh no.
Dime Gal says, oh, I can believe it. Her story sounds very real. Sometimes you don't have to do anything and people start popping off. I'm sorry this happened to her. He was used to getting attention and did not receive it that night. Kennedy says, he must have been done wrong by a black woman in the past. I've seen guys spaz towards a woman just cause she was blocking his view of other women and she wasn't even talking to him. Glad she didn't cuss him out she's better than me. Sugar Bear says, I believe her. I see black guys post negativity things on black women all the time without provocation. They talk smack about our hair, whether it's natural or fake. I wonder if they realize that their daughters they will have with their Becky will still be black. And then she went back and said negative things. Empress So Divine says, who taught him to hate himself? If this is true and he started disrespecting her without provocation, I believe it's either one or two things that occur. One, he's in a relationship, has a crush on his friend. So, gay. Okay, for those at home.
Ah.
Two, he hates black women and all they stand for. It's unfortunate, but a reality for too many black men in America who are told that black women aren't good enough for them. Even though they have been with them from the very beginning, loving them through thick and thin. This young man needs a wake-up call. CJ Lewis says, maybe his mom is white, LOL. Think she meant maybe his mom is white?
I think, yeah.
V says, I totally believe it too. Face it. Some people are just jackasses, and he may have really just been jealous that her black ass didn't want him. I feel sorry for her, and worse for him. House niggas are the worst. Damn, Uncle Ruckus. Then on the other page, the comments, Sugar Bear says, reverse vitiligo is a serious condition. It is no laughing matter. We need to find a cure. V says, I'm mad that you made me laugh my ass off reverse vitiligo. Selena says, I believe it, yo. I don't know what his problem is, but it's a problem. I think he secretly is crushing on his friend. I know someone that had a similar experience, but without the name calling, because dude was a broke bum. But this is a believable story. Marie Alice Romaine says, wow. I truly believe that some of these not for long niggas are projecting their mothers when they see black women, which is very unfortunate because not every black woman in this country are drug addicts, uneducated, and ghetto. Right. Like most of these not for long black athletes' mothers. No matter how many white women this monkey in the above story days, he is who he is, so he should just simmer down. All right. Google Trina, see the proof, man. Doing shows in a recession. Their cars get declined, now they're suffering a depression. Why they spending meals, signing all kinds of deals. I'm a five-star bitch, eating five-star meals. My whole lifestyle like coming to America. All my Louis luggage, see my bag, how I carry her. Walking in the airport like I'm in the parade. On my hologram, logging on the E-Trade. All right, you know what it's time for, guys. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, man. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Story number one. Evansville, Indiana. The alleged attacker of veteran meter reader April Miller Johnson, 30-year-old Kim Jordan, bonded out of jail Thursday after appearing in court. Jordan is charged with battery. She was released Thursday from the hospital and is recovering at home. Evansville police officers say they found April Miller Johnson lying face down in the corner of Forest and Tecapo Wednesday morning with blood on her head and the sidewalk. Johnson told police she was reading a meter when Kim Jordan and her fiance let their two dogs out. She said the dogs charged her. She decided to use a pepper spray and that's all that the meter readers carry there. Jordan's fiance told police a different story and said Johnson freaked out and overreacted.
Oh shit.
According to the fiance, when Johnson refused to tell them who she was, Jordan followed her down the street until she spotted a veteran truck. She says Jordan called veteran, but they weren't able to provide any information, so Jordan allegedly said she was going to beat Johnson. That's when officers say Jordan and her fiance approached Johnson in a black SUV, sprayed her with something, hit her in the eye head with a can, and left the scene. Jordan's fiance says they plan to file suit against veteran for trespassing charges.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, the nerve of these motherfuckers. You beat up the meter man like I'm suing you.
People crazy.
Officials at Veterans say their employee safety is paramount concern. They say they're working closely with the EPD and the prosecutor's office until the matter is closed. Guess the race of Kim Jordan, the person who beat up the meter maid, because are they calling them that anymore? That feels very old sexist school. And wrong.
Yeah,
like I didn't school. Even think about it until I said it. I was just like, that probably is not what they say.
Yeah, so anymore. What did they call it, a man? A meter man?
Right, yeah. What do we call these people? Let me see. What was it? Meter reader. Okay.
Meter reader.
Okay. There we go. Guess the race of the woman who beat up the meter reader. Kim Jordan is her name. Let's see. It's called utility easement. They are idiots. Okay. Parking enforcement. Those are not guesses of the race of the woman, though. That is the entitlement of this story. Sounds white. Jacking someone up over dogs. White. The dogs were dry but still smell like wet dog because of their owner.
Aww.
Oh, the correct answer is white. Nobody missed it. It's like you guys have a sixth sense or something.
Right.
Yes, Karen.
No, I'm just saying, right, yeah, like, they just that smart, they caught on to it.
Mm-hmm. A woman crashed her boyfriend's date with another lady, and he pretended not to see her.
Oh!
Hmm. Sounds kind of smart. What are you turning to, Stevie Wonder? Writer Kadia Blagrove shared a story on XLJ, and it sounds like a stress-induced nightmare, except she really had to live through it. She'd been dating a guy for about 6 months with the understanding that they were exclusive, but something wasn't feeling quite right. We can all see where this is going. People cheating, they discovered all kinds of ways, but what happened was pretty next level. She discovered her boyfriend out on a date with another woman, and he pretended not to know her. She describes how the horror story began that night with a girlfriend gossiping about how her guy had been giving her trouble. They happened to be in his neighborhood and decided to go to a local bar. Oh my God. Upon entering the bar, I half jokingly said, imagine if he's in here with some other girl. Like magic, the universe said, bitch, you guessed it. You was motherfucking right. That's what she wrote. I saw him there sitting at the bar where we usually sat with another woman caressing her face and holding her hips. I made eye contact with the bartender who looked back at me with pitiful eyes and a remorseful shrug. I felt so pathetic. I immediately went back outside and burst into tears. The whole moment felt unreal. I just remember shouting, I fucking hate him. The drunk, the sober, the in-between all stood and watched me cry my eyes out. She rallied and went back into the bar, which was amazing.
Right.
As my boyfriend, quote unquote, sat there laughing and giggling with his date, I tapped him on the shoulder and coldly said, hi. I literally had nothing else to say. He looked up at me, shocked, and then immediately returned his attention to his date. He acted like he didn't know me. This man, who just a week ago had sent me a love song and interrogated me to find out whether I gave another guy my number, acted as if I were nothing more than a stranger. Embarrassment had reached its peak. Moments later, the boyfriend fled to the restroom, and the girl he was with actually started a fun chat with Kadia about loving her hair. Then it all came out. I blurted out, is that your boyfriend? She girlishly smiled. No, this is just a date, but I've been seeing him for a little while. Oh, okay. I took my shot. This is just odd for me because that's my boyfriend. Her mouth fell open and she just kept saying, oh my God. Kadia left soon after, leaving her ex-man to cower in the toilet while she felt wrecked. She didn't answer any of the many calls and the say hi, hello texts that followed from the dude for the next 3 months. She said she never left an apology, he never left an apology or explanation, just demands that she respond to him. While a part of her is curious about what he might have said, she ultimately knows she deserves better.
Right.
But even though I was heartbroken, I knew my worth. There was nothing to gain from inviting him back in my life. I took a logical and selfish look at myself and the kind of respect I require from anyone who wants to spend time with me, so I let it go. I didn't let curiosity get the best of me. I didn't even flip the hell out when I originally confronted him. Maybe that's weakness, or maybe it's strength. So, guess the right race, Kadia Blagrove, who, caught her boyfriend cheating on her. On a date. He really hit her with that hello, hey, how you doing? Stranger. Stay low and build black. Black ass road. First I was afraid, I was petrified. Black empowerment anthem writer OG Mako Black. Now if she can't go to that bar or Bella Noche's no more, now where can she go? Black. Aww. Name says black. Black. Everybody went with black on this one. The correct answer is she is black.
She's beautiful.
Yep. Getting cheated on with a fine ass.
Look ain't at she
her.
Pretty?
I know.
Yeah, and it was
niggas
probably
ain't shit.
It was probably best that you did what you did.
Yeah.
It's probably best you like, oh, okay.
I'm glad she didn't do anything violent to show out. Like, not just because of respectability, but like, don't go to jail over some ain't shit ass nigga.
Right. And that's,
like,
that's
move
the,
on.
That's the conclusion that she came to. She was like, nope.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round to guess the race. Everybody's mostly 2 for 2. And it's time to see what's going on in the bonus round. Double the points, double the racism, guys. In a bizarre, tragic story out of Alabama, police say a car fire that left a local college football reporter with burns over the majority of her body was started by the reporter herself.
What?
Yes. Yes, Karen, by her herself. Mm-hmm. Early the morning of September 8th, police responded to a call of a car fire near an apartment complex in Hoover, a suburb of Birmingham. Natalie Pierre Williams, a 26-year-old college football reporter for AL.com, was found in a car covered in burns. Her husband, Chasten Lee Williams, 30, told responding police that he and his wife had been in a minor car accident, after which he walked back to their apartment. He said he returned a few minutes later to find the car in flames and pulled his wife to safety. After a thorough and exhaustive investigation, Hoover police announced today that the blaze was set intentionally by Williams herself, who apparently walked to the gas station after the crash, purchased 2 gallons of gasoline and a lighter, and then set the car on fire while she was inside it.
Wow!
The crash itself was not serious. It caused minor front end damage when the vehicle struck a small tree. It is not known what caused the driver to leave the roadway and strike the tree. Maybe they were arguing or something. Both occupants acknowledged there was a verbal domestic argument prior to the crash. Debris samples taken from the interior of the vehicle were sent to a laboratory for analysis. Those samples tested positive for an accelerant, gasoline. A wand-style lighter was found in the grassy area near the vehicle. Melted remnants from a 2-gallon gasoline container were found inside the vehicle. Surveillance video from a nearby convenience store shows Natalie Pierre Williams purchasing a wand style lighter, 2 gallons of gasoline, a 2-gallon gasoline can and a gallon of gasoline several minutes before the fire was reported. Why would she do this to herself?
Right,
it's the craziest shit ever. Were y'all like fighting that? You know what? I don't give a fuck. I'll burn myself up. Shit. I might as well go to hell anyway.
It was like, girl, quit playing.
Our goal was,
oh shit, she really did do it.
Yeah, our goal was always to determine the facts and establish how this fire started and what caused it. It was clearly suspicious in nature from the beginning, but very challenging to get to the point we are today. The police said they still aren't sure whether Williams intended to harm herself. Maybe she thought she was gonna burn up the car or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Though we noted that she and her husband have a history of domestic disputes, which necessitated 3 visits from police in June and July alone. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. This is just a horrible situation.
Right.
This is a sad, horrific situation that involved a young lady who is still battling very serious injuries. She still has a long road to recovery, and we certainly hope she is able to heal. She needs everyone's support. Williams has been hospitalized since the incident, has reportedly recovered enough that she's able to speak with friends and family. Guess the race of, what was her name? Something Pierre Williams? Natalie Pierre Williams in the chat room. But yeah, good god, I've never been that mad.
Me either.
She was burning up. Oh, I guess things got heated in the car.
We didn't freeze nothing, did we?
No.
Okay,
you know, she must have been hot. Drew Barrymore, Firestarter White. This is what happens when Domino's ovens, sad white woman, hot topics, the shea butter was flammable enough, didn't need gas, so that's black. Crazy white hot, went too far in trying to be right. Black barbecue, I don't know what race that is. Mm-hmm. White bitch, the correct answer is, and most of you missed it, she was black. Some of you got it right. And let's get to Sword Ratchetness so I can go watch The Flash. Mm, 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 mm. Man attacked his roommate with a sword. San Antonio, home of the Spurs. Man who was apparently attacked with a sword. He was treated at University Hospital for his wounds late Monday night. Police say two roommates got into a fight around 11:30 p.m. One of the men grabbed a knife and a sword to attack the other. The victim suffered cuts to his arms and hands. He was taken to the University Hospital, was expected to be okay. The roommate, identified as 33-year-old Gary Wilburn. I guess that's what that last article had. Has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. His bond is set at $50,000. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a recap of The Walking Dead, and I guess we'll be Donnie. That's right, Donnie from Podcast Fandom, Project Fandom, husband to the illustrious Nina Perez.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you guys show up tomorrow because it's gonna be lit, just like that lady in that last article. All right, until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.